to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Our first reading this weekend, like last weekend, is taken from the book of Genesis. And as we heard last weekend, the strangers that visit Abraham and Sarah inform Abraham and Sarah that she will have a child. Abraham is a chosen servant. So God reveals to him the purpose of the journey towards Sodom. In doing this, God entrusts Abraham with a very important task. That is to impress upon the children and households how crucial it is to live a life that is in the right relationship with God. Two of the three men in last Sunday's first reading move along to Sodom, and Abraham stays behind with the Lord. Abraham barters with God since his nephew Lot lives in Sodom. Abraham believes God is just and merciful and will act fairly and mercifully, especially toward the innocent. Lot and his family are less than 10 in number, but are found worthy and they are spared. Our second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians speaks about the process of dying and rising to life. We die to our old way of sinfulness and self-indulgence. Jesus offers us the possibility of living a new life. And the gospel is about prayer, specifically the Lord's Prayer. Luke makes it clear that we understand how important prayer is to our Lord Jesus. So why do we pray? What is it that we wish to accomplish? As we read in scriptures, God knows exactly what we need before we ever ask. And yet, what is it that we wish to accomplish by our prayers? Is it a particular method of praying? A particular technique that we learned from someone else? In Luke's Gospel versus Matthew, Matthew says that our Father is already at prayer in his community. And in Luke, we may have the actual words of our Lord Jesus. And the Our Father is one of those prayers that we probably learn early on in our lives. And we recite it so frequently that I would be willing to bet that there are more times than not that we're saying words, but I'm not certain that we are actually praying. Our Father, who art in heaven. We note that this prayer is a communal prayer. We don't pray my God, but our Father. It is addressed directly to God in his dwelling place. Hallowed be thy name. Note the sentiments of praise and the reminder that God's name is holy. If we remember early in the Bible that the Jews were not even supposed to say the name of Yahweh because of it being so holy. Holy is God's name. Do we treat the name of our God with respect and the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus? Thy kingdom come. Is this what we are truly asking? That God's kingdom come upon this earth? That God's kingdom rule in our lives? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What am I willing to do to bring about God's kingdom here on earth? More specifically, in my life and in the world in which I live. Am I willing to allow God's grace to change me, to transform me into what God wants me to be? Give us this day our daily bread. A reminder that God is the creator of all that exists. Everything we receive, as Paul writes, is pure gift from God. The physical bread that we eat, as well as the spiritual nourishment we receive each and every day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So, in the prayer of our Lord Jesus, there's that idea of equity. It's a little bit clearer in Matthew's Gospel because in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, "And if you do not forgive your brother or your sister, your heavenly Father will not forgive you." Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We do not live in a trouble-free world. There are certainly crosses that we will bear. How will we handle these? Will we, like our Lord Jesus, accept them? Or will we start to put up with them as we grumble along the road? How do we handle the crosses in our lives? And perseverance. What are we willing to do to attain what God, or what we are asking God to bless us with? Have we ever asked God for something and made a promise that, "Dear God, if you give me this, I promise that"? And then after we get what we've asked for, we conveniently forgot our part of the bargain. These scriptures are about praying, about prayer. What does our prayer life look like? God's grace can make remarkable changes in our lives, probably more so than we would ever ask or imagine. In this year of grace, 2025, like Abraham, let us ask for God's grace to impress upon us, our family, our friends, how much we are in need of God's grace and how much we are in need of God's guidance and direction.